Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. We can't do this without you. Would you kindly send all things wretched, and that's a lot of stuff on the internet, all things wretched, send to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to communicate via the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
We certainly did get a lot of wretched things sent our way this week.
I don't know what to think about that.
I don't know which one to start with, but I'm going to start with this one. This is a text from Brian. Todd, your beloved pipe organ and the bagpipes are the same instrument.
No.
They both produce... No. You want me to stop?
No, they're not the same thing.
They both produce a note by air being forced through pipes and altered by valves under the player's fingers.
Okay, that doesn't make them the same thing. One sounds like somebody's murdering a herd of cats. The other one is majestic and lofty. And the Bible's only ordained instrument in the church. Do you see the word bagpipe in the Bible? And the answer to that is no. You see neither the word bag nor pipe. Do you see the word organ? Yes. Like your guts. Like splagnidzomai. It's there. The word compassion actually means your guts are moved. Clearly, it's talking about the pipe organ. So thank you for trying to diminish the grandeur of the pipe organ by comparing it to a... comparing it to a bagpipe. 877-282. Now I'm all sour in here.
I've got more.
Oh, good.
I'll hang on to them for later. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, regarding your new booklet, Play the Man, I would like to give them out. But as a woman, I wonder about the appropriateness of doing that. I certainly wouldn't be comfortable if a young man wanted to talk about the subject matter. Mm. Have any thoughts?
Yeah. For that reason, I think that might be a bit odd and just uncomfortable and perhaps even inappropriate. Could a woman hand out these cards? I think obviously every woman would have to determine their comfort level. I personally would say I don't think it's wrong to do it. As long as you just hand it to them, especially if you're a woman and you don't want to engage because the subject matter, of course, is pornography, then just give it to them and be done with it. Oh, just read the booklet. Go to the QR code. What is it? Oh, go to the QR code and leave it at that. Now, if you're a dude, you might find yourself in some conversations. I say take the opportunity. Now, if you're too nervous about doing that, then the same rules would apply. Just give it away. One word will do. Here. That's it. You want to go crazy? Two words. Get this. And then you have given them the gospel. Hundreds already are. If you would like to participate in our Play the Man giveaway campaign, they're free. So is the shipping. This is a good deal. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/playtheman.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I recently fell into sin. How should my attitude be? I feel like I ruined the progress I made and I need to start over in the fight. Is that the right mindset or should I see my failure as just a bump in the road of my walk since I'm born again?
I wouldn't see it as any of that. I wouldn't see it as a start over, go back to go. No, that's not the way sanctification works. Sanctification is more like, well, I guess these days the stock market kind of looks like that. It goes up and down, but it's the trajectory. It is on the up, sort of like pricing, house pricing. Basically, you know, it goes up, it goes down, but ultimately, year after year, it goes up. Same thing with sanctification. Don't think that you go back to zero. Besides, your bank account with God never diminishes. That's a staggering thought. The righteousness that has been credited to you, courtesy of Jesus Christ, doesn't go down when you sin. You are given it completely, and you're a new creation. So what do you do when you stumble and fall? Well, you do what the Bible says. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then get back at it. Simple. Thank him for his patience. Thank him for his grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And then just get back on it. Don't become debilitated. Don't feel like you are no longer inside of God's family, that you no longer have his favor. That's not the way the true and living God works. When you are in Christ, you're in fully. You are immersed in everything that is Jesus, all of his righteousness, all of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his love. You are encompassed by it totally and completely. You didn't get yourself in. Your sins can't get you back out. Ponder that, and it's going to help you in your battle of sin. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I am convinced that my husband and father of my children is a false convert. I am continually heartbroken over it. He comes to church most Sundays, but there is so little evidence of a genuine conversion. Mm-hmm. He's 56 now and has been a professing Christian for literally decades. What can I say to him? Should I keep praying and encouraging him, or should I just outright confront him?
Don't know the dynamic of your relationship. Obviously, those are options for you, but I think wisdom should be applied. Before we dive into that, let me perhaps make an observation. When you're so close to somebody, you see the underbelly. That's what you get in family. You see the sins. You see all of the dings that they have because you're so close. So just a word of encouragement to maybe at least understand. You're probably seeing, now it shouldn't be this way, but it's the reality because we're so close. We see everything about one another. So you get more of him than other people would. You see what would be the deficiencies more regularly than other people would. So maybe, just maybe, your perception. Now, I'm not saying that he's not a false convert. I'm not saying he is a false convert. I'm just saying it might be a little bit difficult for you to judge. And I say that so that you might have hope that he actually could be. So now we get to, how do you determine that? And I think the answer is you need help. You need input from others without turning it into a gossip fest or a bagging on your husband fest. Who would be the people to go to for that? I think the elders. Share with, say, hey, I want this to be confidential. My view could be cloudy. This is what I see in my husband. And let them speak into it. And it might be an issue where they say, you know what? We're going to spend some time with your husband. We're going to jump in. We're going to see what's going on there. But in the meantime, they might encourage you to look for good fruit. Look for, so you might be overlooking them because you're so close. Again, I'm not rendering a verdict. It's not my place. Nor am I trying to dissuade you from your current conclusion. But I am saying that it might benefit you to receive outside input. They might just be seeing things a little bit differently. And then let them get involved, because if they come to the conclusion, I think we're dealing with a false convert, then it is right for them to jump in and to work with him, to help him understand the gospel and to lead him to a clear understanding of the gospel. Can you do that? You could. Do I think that you should, like, husband, let's sit down. We need to talk. I've noticed you only read your Bible this much, which, by the way, you got to be careful with that. It is not uncommon. It shouldn't be, but it's not uncommon that the woman in a equally yoked relationship is more mature than the husband is. That is not uncommon. Be careful of that too. Could you approach him to bring up your concerns? Yeah, but I think I would be inclined to really do it wisely. There's a way of doing it without pointing a finger. For instance, go listen to True and False Conversion by Ray Comfort. Get Don't Are You a Rotten Fish in the store here at Fortas Institute. Hey, I was reading that. Would you read? Tell me what you think about this. Hey, let's listen. I've heard this sermon called True and False Conversions. True and False Convert. And True and False Somethings from Ray Comfort at livingwaters.com is excellent. Let's listen to it, dear. Then you don't have to be accusatory. Then you're teaching and you're revealing to him there is a classification of a professing Christian that is false convert. And he can hear that from somebody besides you. Having said all of that, could you still sit down with him? I would suggest if you're going to be patient in this, let Are You a Rotten Fish or True and False Conversions, let that do the heavy lifting for you. If you're not seeing the needle move, you still have your concerns, you don't want to talk to your elders, you want to do it yourself, just be super loving. Honey, I've been studying this subject. What do you think about this? I've been looking at this. Would you be willing, dear, to point out to me if you ever think that I might be a false convert? In other words, try to be sensitive, loving, and respectful. And this, I don't care what gender you are. That should be the approach. Remember, we're trying to get somebody out of a trap, and you don't yell at an animal that has been caught in a bear trap. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Important dates in Christian history. 1738. John Wesley's conversion eventually leads to the founding of the Methodist Church. Although he had no intention of forming a separate denomination, Wesley's followers left the Anglican Communion and founded churches throughout England and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That's right. You're listening to a perfect talk show host. Isn't that redundant, Friel? This is Wretched Radio. Thank you, Jimmy, because what I heard you say
that's
is
what you
I handled it perfectly. Not exactly the way it went down. I, during the break, said, Jimmy, would there be anything that you would add to the woman who's concerned that her husband could be a false convert?
Mm-hmm.
And you said,
and I don't think
it was perfect.
That's what
you
I
nailed
said.
It. You crushed it. Nothing. You just, you squeezed it out like a grape. You squeezed. Did I tell you? Maybe I did. Oh, I hesitated. In fact, I'm even hesitating about telling you about my hesitation of what I said in a sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church.
Uh-oh.
It was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did I share this? Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Okay. Talking about the squeezing that takes place with an olive press. It's an amazing device. And, you know, once again, look at a device like that, we would see it as being rather archaic. There's no lights. There's no on and off switch. You know, it needed to be turned by a beast of burden. But this thing wasn't stupid. Think about a bit like a big round table, maybe 8 feet in circumference, with a lip on the end. And it's made out of basalt. It's made out of limestone, whatever the available rock is in your territory. So it's a basin, if you will, because it's a flat surface and it's got a ridge around it. Then they also then take a smaller, it'd be like 2 to 3 foot big, heavy stone round, like think like a tire. And in the middle, there would be a hole to put a fulcrum. And on the one end of the fulcrum, on the outside, of course, that would be where you would attach the beast of burden. But on the inside of the fulcrum, you would put more stones, more weight, to maximize the amount of pressure that the olives receive as the beast of burden then rolls around the press. The big heavy stone, which they think that the Garden of Gethsemane press was about 3,000, maybe 3,300 pounds of pressure, squeezing the olives. That's what an olive press would do. And yeah, it's symbolic because Jesus was in the garden of the olive press and he was getting squeezed spiritually by the Father. Got to be careful with this because it's a bit mysterious. Jesus was being punished for the sins of his saints that he was going to save invisibly by the Father, crushing him spiritually. Most likely, that was far worse than what he endured physically on the cross. That is what Jesus endured. He got pressed. Just by the way, I learned something about olive pressing in preparation for that sermon. When they put olives down and they press it the first run, that would be considered extra virgin olive oil. It's the first pressing. But to maximize the productivity of the olive, they go around again, and then that produces a lesser quality, like olive oil. Then the next would be like for lamps. Then the fourth or fifth run, it would be for anointing, or it could be medical, whatever the tiers were. But it was based on how many times the olives have been pressed. So that then inspired me to ask the question, if you were an olive, and you are about to be pressed, what would you do? What would you do? How would you be feeling if that heavy stone, the 3,300 pounds of crushing power, were rolling toward you? How would you react? Let's see how Jesus reacted, because he received a greater pressing than any olive, than any person who has ever endured something horrific. Jesus received worse. He was pressed in the garden of the olive press. And let's see how our brave, courageous, strong, loving Savior reacted to the pressing that he got. And if I'm recalling now, this was a couple, 3 weeks ago. It's fascinating to see the effect of prayer. That, okay, Jesus was getting pressed. He's bleeding sweat from his forehead, most likely, because that's where that hyperhidrosis or whatever it's called, which has been verified, it's been witnessed. It pours out of the forehead, from the scalp even. What was going on there? He was being pressed spiritually by the Father. What does he do? He falls on his face and prays. Then the mob comes and we see his interactions with the disciples, and he's not snarky. He's not scolding and chiding. He's not mean to them. Instead, he's patient with them. He's still teaching them. And then he sees the lights coming of the mob of give or take about 600 people from the Roman cohort and the temple priests. And what does he say? Let's go. And then he engages them. How does he do that? Judas, friend, do what you came to do. Peter lops off the ear of Malchus, the high priest. What does Jesus do? I am probably picked up the ear off of the ground and reattached it to the man's head and healed him as an act of kindness. Why? Well, you couldn't serve in the temple if you had a body part missing. He was probably protecting Peter from getting arrested because, remember, he was not going to lose one of them, and it was just an act of kindness to them. And now, how was Jesus able to act like that when he was getting pressed by the Father? And I think the answer is right in the text. He was praying, 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 praying. If you're getting pressed, pray. I know it's hard. I know you don't feel like it. You maybe don't even have the strength to do it. Do it. It will give you strength. I think that's so vivid in the text that Jesus was able to endure the pressing. He was strengthened through prayer, and it gave him peace, and it allowed him to be loving toward the disciples, loving toward his betrayer, loving toward those who came to arrest him. The power of prayer. If you are being pressed, pray. When you're done with that, send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org or text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard people say that God has told us 90% of what we're supposed to do with our lives in the Bible, and God won't tell us the last 10% until we start obeying what he's already told us. Is that true?
I've never heard that before. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for 90% of your life. The other 10%, God will tell you. Well, that would make an extra biblical revelation to boot.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah. So, no, you got everything you need in the Bible. Everything. Now, does he disclose the details? No, not until they happen. We got to live, and we live in real time. So you're not going to know exactly what God's plan is. You're not going to know exactly how to apply his truth until you arrive at that moment. And furthermore, we don't need to know those things. We don't want to know those things. We don't want to know those things. I think about knowing your death date. You want to know that? I don't. I've thought about it. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I know Tim McGraw would say, well, then you can live like you're dying because you are and you know the death date. But I don't need to write a bull named Fu Manchu. I just want to be godly day by day by day. And knowing that I'm going to die, it should always be a present fact because it's going to happen, that drives us and compels us to be fit for heaven and to be productive while we're here. But if you knew the date, you would make wonky decisions and you would be counting down to your death date. Yeah. What about knowing all of the illnesses that you're going to, would you like to know the next Tuesday you're going to get food poisoning? Would you like to know that? Or it's going to happen no matter what. So how's about that? While you're eating that chicken with pesto with I think it was a fusilli noodle, you knew, oh, I'm putting the food poisoning mechanism into my body because I've been told I'm going to get food poisoning. You'd hate that meal, and you'd be inclined then to try to find your way around it. It's good we don't know everything, but we know everything that we need to know for life and godliness. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kevin. Quickly, Todd, my friend doesn't believe Jesus is in the Old Testament. How can I help?
He doesn't? Jesus Unmasked is a book that would be helpful for that. You could Google typology. You could Google types and shadows. I'm sure there's lists on the internet to show all of the fuzzy pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament, starting in Genesis 3:15, the promise of the seed. Then there's the promise of the seed to Abraham. Then there's Abraham and Isaac. There's the sacrificial lambs. There's the Passover lamb. Jesus isn't in the Old Testament. He's everywhere. Unless, of course, you go to Andy Stanley's church. You would never know that because they've convened. Oh, check this out. It wasn't Andy's church. There's a church not far away from us here in Alpharetta, Georgia. Get ready for this. Is the biggest oxymoron. This is just, it's like, what? The church is taking a Sabbath from doing church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
This is Wretched Radio.